Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to have you here. My name is Sten. If this is your first time here, if we haven't had the chance to meet yet, I'm the pastor here at Mid-Current Church. We're glad you could be here. We're actually in the very first week of a brand new series that is called Unlikely Heroes. We have set out to get a close-up look at some of the great heroes in the Bible, in hopes that we might see that we just have more in common with some of these Hall of Famers. Than we ever would have imagined. Here's the deal. I think that we all love the story of a hero. They're inspiring, they're encouraging, they're uplifting. The problem is heroes so often seem to be in a league of their own. Right, that they seem to be so far out of our league that we feel like, you know what, we're inspired by them, but we assume we're nothing like them, and therefore we would never be capable of doing anything as great as them. And the same goes, I think, for some of the greats in the Bible. But I hope that at the end of the 4 weeks of this series, you might determine that is simply not the case for you as we learn about some of these unlikely heroes. So it's really good to have you here this morning. We're going to dive right into week one here. It was during my summers in high school and college. I actually worked many summers as a camp counselor at a summer Bible camp in Michigan. And a few times a day, we would gather up all the campers, all 200 some kids, into the chapel to sing crazy fun camp song. And there was one song in particular. It was kind of a camp tradition we sang every year, and it was one of my favorites. I still remember it to this day. It was a song called Heroes. And so here's what would happen. All 200 plus people, kids and counselors, all 200 plus people in the chapel would begin singing out this little song right here that I'm going to give you a little taste of right here. Everyone together would sing this. There are heroes in the Bible. You can find them in the book. To read about the things they did, you only have to look. They weren't as strong as Superman, but did far greater things. And that's because they got their power from the King of Kings. And then everybody went like this. Do 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 do. Hey! Okay, that's what happened. Oh, the whole chapel would be singing that out. It would be a lot more raucous, a lot more crazy than that little nice version I gave you right there. Okay, so everybody would sing that. And then here was what would happen. One of the camp counselors would be acting as the voice of God. This was kind of the second part of the song. One of the camp counselors acting as the voice of God would call out the name of someone else out in the audience. And so they'd call out this person acting as God. They'd say, "Hey, John." And then John would say, "Yes, Lord." And then this voice would say, "John, you're going to do great things for me." He'd say, "Who, me, Lord?" And God would say, "Yeah, you, John." And then John would say this every time. John would say, "But I'm just a boy." And then God would say, "I know that, John. I created you, remember?" And that John would say, "Yeah, I remember, God, but I don't know how." And then God would say, "That's okay, John. I'll show you how, because there are," and then everybody would sing together, "heroes in the Bible, you can find them in the book, to read about the things they do, you only have to look," and the song would go on and on and on. Okay, this would happen for a few different rounds with a few different people, and each time someone was called out, it happened the same way. Each time someone was called out and God would tell them, "Hey, you're going to do great things for me," each person would respond the same way every time. But I'm just a boy. But I'm just a girl, but I'm just a kid, but I'm just a summer camp counselor, but. And here's the thing. I think that so many of us respond in the very same way. And I'm not just talking about in silly camp songs at summer camp. See, I think when God pulls our name out of the hat, I think when God's got a new assignment that comes our way, I think when there's a new opportunity that presents itself for us, when there's a gap, or when there's a need somewhere in the world that we could fill, that you or I could fill, I think too many of us respond in the very same way at the thought of raising our hand or at the thought of stepping out of the pack. We say, who, me? We say, "No, but I... But I'm just a regular guy. Yeah, but I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a stay-at-home dad. Who, me? God, nah, but I'm just a truck driver. I'm just a store manager, but I'm just a businessman. We just sell software. But I didn't even finish college. I didn't get a college degree, but I didn't grow up in church, but I don't know the Bible that well, but I'm not even close to being that perfect. We say, but. See, I think when it comes to the potential impact that we could have on the world around us, I think it's our buts that get in the way. I think it's our buts that get in the way, and we're so quick to point out the parts of our lives or the parts of our past or the parts of our personalities even that disqualify us from a life of significance, that disqualify us from being used to make the world around us a better place, right? For every opportunity that comes along the way, we have a but that gets us off the hook. And that was actually true, right? That the very same thing was true for one of the Bible's greatest all-stars. His name was Moses, right? This guy is truly one of the greats. I mean, the laws of the Old Testament are called the laws of Moses. I mean, this guy really was one of the greats. And his life and his story teach us a few valuable lessons about how we kind of overcome these buts or what we make of these buts. And his life and his story teach us a few valuable lessons about what real greatness or what real heroes are really all about. So that's what I want us to see this morning. This was his story. Moses was a Hebrew child, which means he was from the nation of Israel. And he grew up in the home of Pharaoh's daughter. King of Egypt, right, is Pharaoh. He grew up in the home of Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt, actually. See, long ago there was, this is just a quick background here. Long ago there was famine in the land of the Israelites that forced them to go settle in Egypt. Who welcomed them? There was a couple events that led up to that. So Egypt welcomed them in. But they started to grow in number and they became a threat. And because of this threat, Egypt made slaves out of the entire nation of Israel and ordered for all the firstborn males in Israel to be killed. But Moses' parents, residing in Egypt, right, a Hebrew family, they wouldn't let that happen. We talked about this, right, a few weeks ago. We talked about Jochebed, his mother, a future-focused mother who had a focus on the future and a picture of what could be for her own son, right, that they set their son Moses in the Nile River in a basket so that he wouldn't be killed, and they sent him down the river where he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, who took him in, right? So while he did grow up, this Hebrew child, this, you know, son of the nation of Israel, while he did grow up in the home of royalty in Egypt, he had a safe but a front row seat to watch his own people endure the brutality of slavery under the Egyptian Pharaoh. This did not sit well with him, but God had a great plan for him. God would raise up Moses to be the one that would free the entire nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And he does. Okay, little spoiler alert. That's the end of the story. He pulls it off. And the events under his leadership, right, the events and the things that transpired under the leadership of Moses, I mean, they're nothing short of miraculous. They're nothing short of awe-inspiring. You know, movies are made today of this story that give us a little glimpse of the things that he pulled off, that give us a glimpse of his bravery as he stands in front of Pharaoh as he demands what? Let my people go. Right? He goes on to do so many great things in scene after scene of the story. It's under God's authority that Moses, he turns his staff into a snake. He turns the water of the Nile River into blood. He brings plague after plague after plague to the nation of Egypt to let Pharaoh and all the Egyptians know, we're serious and our God is legit. He's the one behind all this stuff. Okay, and then in the legendary moment, this is the pinnacle of it all, in the legendary moment that ensured freedom for the people of Israel, and in a moment that cemented Moses' legacy in the history books, we see one of his greatest accomplishments. Right, the nation of Israel has escaped. They've gotten out of Egypt, and they're making their way out into the wilderness. They're making their way toward freedom, toward the land that God has promised them. And Pharaoh's army is in hot pursuit. And so as they approached, the Israelites could see them off in the distance, and they're freaked out, right? They're freaked out, and then they go into a massive panic, right? Their enemies are approaching from over here, but they've run out of real estate over here. They've hit a dead end, which is the Red Sea. They can't go any further, and their enemies are approaching them from the other side. And so they're trapped, and they can start to see how this is going to play out. They're like, why, Moses? Why did you bring us out here? We're just going to die out in the wilderness, right? They are freaking out big time. Here's Exodus 14, verses 13 to 14. Moses responds to them with confidence. He says, don't be afraid. Just stand there and watch. He says, stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. The Egyptians that you see today, never be seen again. And you won't have to lift a finger in your defense. That's what he tells him. And then here's how God responds. He says to Moses, he says, why are you crying out to me? Tell your people to get moving. He tells Moses, use your shepherd's staff, hold it out over the water, and a path will open up before you through the sea. So many of you know the story so well, okay? And then God says, then all the people of Israel will walk through on dry ground. And that's exactly what happens. Here's verse 21. It says, then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. And so the people of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground. We also had a song about this that we sang at camp, but I'm not going to sing this for you here this morning, okay? The people of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. And then the Egyptians and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers followed them across the bottom of the sea. Skip down to verse 26. When all the Israelites were on the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. And then the waters will rush back over the Egyptian chariots and charioteers. And so as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water roared back into its usual place, and the Lord swept the terrified Egyptians into the surging currents. The water covered all of the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians, okay, this is what's happening under Moses' leadership. Of all the Egyptians who chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. They made it. They're free. Okay, this is the story. This is the legend of Moses, right? One of the Bible's greatest, right? Even if you don't know much about the Bible, even if you didn't grow up in church a ton, chances are you've heard of Moses. This was the assignment that God gave him, to deliver an entire nation of people from slavery, and he delivered. And he is remembered as one of the greats. And this moment is remembered as one of the foundational, one of the most monumental moments in the life of God's people and in the faith that's been passed down to you and to me. And yet, this great hero was this close. He was this close to missing out on this assignment because of some of the biggest buts that are ever recorded in the Bible. Let's look back where it all began. If we flip back to Exodus 3, God first gets Moses' attention with a burning bush, and he calls out to Moses, and Moses says, yeah, Lord, here I am. This is verse 9. God says to him, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. He's going, look, I've seen that they're miserable. I get it. I see. And then he says this in verse 10, now go. He says to Moses, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. So here we see God pulling Moses' name out of the hat. He says, Moses, I choose you. And immediately after, we see the giant but that almost sank this mission from the start. Moses immediately replies in verse 11, but God says, hey, Moses, you're going to do great things for me. He says, who, me, God? And God says, yeah, you, Moses. And he says, but I'm just a boy. Right? He says, but, here it is, verse 11, but who am I? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Moses asked God, how can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Okay, our great hero, Moses, right, who once raised his arms and parted the sea, who once told his people with confidence, don't even lift a finger because we got this covered. He says, this can't happen. Right? The one who looked at his people and said, I got this, he's first telling God, I don't got this. He's saying, certainly I couldn't do what you're asking me to do. And I think it's in Exodus 4:10 that we see why he's so unsure, that we see what's really behind his concern here. After multiple protests and back and forth between Moses and God, after multiple protests with God to send someone else, we finally see, I think we see what he believes, what Moses believes to be his ultimate disqualifier. Here it is, Exodus 4:10. It says this, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, here's the thing, I'm not a good speaker. You want me to go talk to Pharaoh? God, here's the problem. I'm not a very good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now, even after you have spoken to me. And he says this, I'm clumsy with my words. Some translations of this verse right here say that Moses tells God, I'm slow of speech. Right? Time and time again, Moses is trying to convince God. He protests, it keeps saying over and over and over in these verses. He's trying to convince God that he must have picked the wrong guy. He's telling God, there's no way. I'm not the one that's going to make this happen. This is like the real Moses, right? This is the parts that don't end up in the kids' books about, you know, Moses raising his hands over the sea. Right? This is the real Moses, the hero who famously stood before one of the most powerful men in the world at that moment and demanded, let my people go. This is the spiritual giant who raised his arms to split the sea. This is the guy that led an entire nation of people, of men and of women and children, out of slavery. And yet at the beginning of it all, he was convinced that he wasn't the man for the job. Why? Because he was an ordinary guy with a speech impediment. It's not really the things that we think that heroes are made of. And yet he is still remembered as one of the greats. And I think that his story then, because of this, I think his story teaches us a few different things about these buts in our life. I think his story teaches us a few different things about what real heroes and real greatness is all about. Here's the first thing that his life and his story teaches us. This is number one. God is not limited by what limits you. God is not limited by what limits you. At least four different times, Moses begs God not to make him go through with it. And yet every time, God is not shaken. He's not learning anything new. He's not caught off guard. He's not going like, "Oh, you're what? You're an ord? You're what? You're not ready for this? You don't think that this is for you? Oh, what? You're not a great speaker?" He's not surprised by this. In fact, here's how he responds to Moses. When Moses says, "Okay, look, God, here's the thing. I'm not a great speaker. I'm not good with words. I'm clumsy with my words." In fact, here's how God responds to him in the very next verse, verse 11. The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" He's saying, "You don't think I know that, Moses? You don't think I know how well you speak or don't speak? You don't think I know that?" He's going, "I created you and I picked you still." And then he says this, "Now go and I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say." God is not limited by what limits us. God is not limited and he's not surprised by our buts. Here's the truth, folks. You and I have limits. We just do. right? On our own, there is only so much good that we can do. But if we would allow God to use who it is we are, if we would allow God to use what it is we have, even greater things can still be done. If you understood that God is not limited by what limits you, maybe you wouldn't be so quick to disqualify yourself from making a big difference around you. Maybe you wouldn't be so quick to disqualify yourself when God pulls your name out of the hat, when God gives you a new assignment. All right, so would you allow God to use you in spite of you? He is not limited by what limits you. That leads us to number two. I think this is what we learn also from his story. That real heroes, right, that there's a characteristic about real heroes that I think we need to see. Real heroes are simply available. They're not invincible. I think we learn that as we look at the life of Moses here. The real heroes are available, not invincible. Moses was not some superhuman, right? He wasn't the captain of the football team. He wasn't even the captain of the debate team based on what we have learned about him here. He was not some Fortune 500 CEO. He wasn't perfect at everything that he put his hand to. In fact, at one point along the way, Moses begins to speak up on behalf of his people, and he actually makes things worse. Okay, following God's instructions to, hey, you're the guy, Moses, go confront Pharaoh. Finally, Moses steps up to the plate, and Moses and his brother Aaron, they go and they make a plea to Pharaoh to, hey, would you let our people go? And Pharaoh isn't having it. In fact, he just gets meaner. Look at this. It says the same day, okay, Moses and Aaron go make their, case to Pharaoh. And it says the same day Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. That was their labor, the hard labor they were doing, right? Making bricks out of mud and straw. And he says, you're no longer to supply people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce their quota. Moses has his own doubts about his abilities, but he finally does what God says, and he only makes things worse. His own people are saying, like, dude, hey, just leave us alone, man. Like, hey, would you quit getting in the way? You're just making things worse. You're not helping. Okay, this guy was not invincible, not even close. But time and time again, he makes himself what? He makes himself available to God to do what God has asked him to do, to go and speak, to go stand before Pharaoh, to lead his people out of slavery. So let me ask you, how available do you make yourself to God? Right? It's your availability, not your invincibility, that makes you of value, that makes you of use to God. So what parts of you have you not made available to God? Your time, your talents and your abilities, your resources, your home, your friendship to someone? Or what have you not made available to God? The legacy that you leave behind, the impact that you make in this world, or the impact that you make in your family or in your community, it very well may be determined by how available you make yourself to God's work around you. Real heroes are simply available. They're not invincible. That leads us to the third thing that I think we learned from the life of Moses, which is this, the changing lives. I mean, that's what Moses is doing. He changed the lives and the faith of an entire nation of people. The changing lives begins with your position, not your power, right? Changing lives begins with the position that God has placed you in, not with any kind of special powers of your own. We've established the fact quite clearly now that Moses wasn't effective because of any special powers or abilities of his own. This is what makes him such an unlikely hero, right? Ordinary guy, doesn't speak well, trips over his words. Okay, we've made that clear. See, I think what makes him so effective In addition to being available, in addition to God's power in him, I think what makes him so effective in this moment was his position in life, the place where God had placed him. See, I mentioned this as we began. I'll just keep it this fresh in our mind. I mentioned this as we began, that he was a Hebrew child, a child of Israel, and he was raised in the home of the Egyptian king, Pharaoh. Right, that the Hebrews grew in population, so the Egyptian king gave an order for all the firstborns to be killed. Moses' parents not going to let that happen, so they put him in the Nile River in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter finds him. She feels sorry for him and takes him in. This is the home that he grew up in. And get this. This is just a little side note here. I'm going to take a sidestep here. Just in case you think there's no humor in the Bible, just in case you think that God is not actively working in people's lives and doing it in crazy ways, look at this. This is Exodus 2. It says this. Then his sister, Pharaoh's sister, you know, him and his mom and his family, they live in Egypt. They're servants of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. It says this, then his sister, Moses' sister, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" Right? Pharaoh's daughter just pulled this baby out of the Nile. And the sister asked, "Should I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, go," says she answered. And so the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." And so the woman, Moses' birth mother, took him and nursed him. Moses' mother got paid to nurse her own child. I don't know how Erica and I missed out on this financial opportunity when we had our two kids. Life could be a whole lot different for us right now. But alas, we did not get paid to raise our own kids. You cannot make this stuff up. This is the real deal, right? God is actively at work in this story. Okay, and then here's how this scene ends, right? The Pharaoh's daughter has pulled him out, and then it says this, when the child grew older, when Moses grew older, she took him, this is Moses' mother, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, meaning I drew him out of water. Here's what I'm getting at. Moses' position in the house of the Egyptian king, it was not a coincidence. It wasn't irony. I believe that God had positioned him in the one place that he needed to be. Right, the deliverer of God's people, get this, the deliverer of God's people grows up in the very court from which he would deliver his people. It is only this environment. It is only this environment that could sufficiently prepare Moses to speak to Pharaoh. It was his position in life. It was the position that God had placed him. It was not any power of his own. It was not any abilities of his own. Not his strengths. Not his superpowers. It was the position that God had placed him in life that would prepare him. That would put him in the unique position to prepare him to change the course of an entire nation of people. Folks, I think the same is true for you. That you might count yourself out because a whole host of different reasons, right? You might count yourself out because you're not enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not strong enough, you're not intelligent enough, you know, you don't get paid enough, you don't have enough, you don't know how to spell enough. I don't know the list of reasons that you've convinced yourself that you're not enough, but here's what I do know. None of that matters. None of that matters. Some of you, here's what matters, right? Some of you have been given a position in life. God has placed some of you in the position that you are to make a difference that only you can make from that very position that God has placed you in. Right? Some of you have a neighbor who just moved in. Brand new to the area, brand new to the neighborhood, and they're just in need of a friend their whole life. Maybe you don't realize it, but their whole life they have been invisible, and they're hoping that maybe it's not the case anymore. Maybe God has put you in the position to invest in influence, right? Maybe some of you just moved into a neighborhood. that you have the ability, that only you in that house, in that place have the ability to impact, right? It's your position there that would prepare you to influence and to speak into their life and to speak into the community, right? Some of you work with people all day long who make appointments with you only at like the most, you know, vulnerable moments in their life. They come to see you to get advice on their physical health or their emotional and their kind of mental health or their financial health, right? And you are in a position to do so much good. So much more than just recommending the right prescription or the right savings accounts, right? Some of you lead a team or a staff of 5, 10, 20, 30 people maybe, and maybe God put you in that position, not just to sign their paychecks or to lead their staff meetings, right? They're just checking their email anyway, right? They're not listening to you. Someone else can sign the checks. Someone else can lead the staff meetings. Maybe God puts you in that position to do so much more than those things. Maybe God puts you in that very position for a purpose, for an assignment that only you can carry out. Maybe there's someone on your team. Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood. Maybe there's someone in your own family that needs you to see them, that needs you to invest in them, that needs you to influence them. And maybe God put you in the position that you are in to do so. Folks, there is a whole lot of good still to be done in the world, still to be done around us, right? There are marriages that need to be saved. There are families that still need to be strengthened. There are kids that still need a role model. There are vulnerable people that still need an advocate, right? There's people that still don't have clean drinking water, right? There's unity that still needs to be restored. There's empty stomachs that still need to be filled. There's empty hearts that still need to be ignited and to be opened up and need to be filled as well. And I think that God is pulling your name and my name out of the hat. I think that God might be tapping some of you on the shoulder to make a difference in some of these places. I think God might be whispering to some of us here today, right now, maybe this season in your life, God is trying to get your attention. He's saying, hey, Stan, hey, Joe, hey, Jane, you're going to do great things for me. And I think the only thing that stands in our way is our butts. But I'm not ready. And so what I'd hope that we'd see here today is that God is not limited by our butts. God is not limited by what limits us. I hope we'd see that real heroes are simply available. They're not invincible. And I hope we'd see that most time changing lives can begin with the position that God has placed us, not with any kind of special power of our own. I really do believe that there might just be a hero hiding inside of every one of us here today, a hero that this world is desperate for. And no matter how unlikely a candidate you think you are, I think that hero, it could be you. Let me pray for us. God, we are blown away at the things that you have done throughout history, God. We are just in awe at your faithfulness and at the things that you have done on behalf of your people who you love. And God, we're grateful for the lives of some of the people that you have used to do really significant things. And I hope, God, that today and in the weeks to come, that you would help us to see some of us in them, God. I hope that you would help us to see that the same kind of outcome, the same kind of things to happen in your name, God, are still possible, that they can still be done today, that you're ready to continue to do these things among us still. So God, I pray that you would give us the confidence, and I pray that you would develop the boldness and the courage in us to raise our hands, to step out of the pack when we feel like you are tapping on our shoulder, God, when you're whispering our name. And I pray that we would be available, God. I pray that we would be mindful of the places that you have put us, God, the people that you have surrounded with, us with, God. These things aren't coincidences, God. You have put us in the positions that you have. God, you've put us in the positions that we are in, I think, for a greater purpose. And I pray that you would help us to uncover those purposes, God, that you would shine a big spotlight on those places and on those people and on those opportunities where we can step up and where we can step in and we can make a real difference and live lives of real significance. God, would you help us to do that? And today, this week, in the weeks to come, we thank you for who you are, God. We're thankful for your faithfulness in the lives of your people. And God, we want to continue to give of ourselves to you in so many ways. And so we ask for your help in doing that. We pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.